Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Matron Pajak, MXP if you will. Very special podcast today. I'm joined by Akeem of Cheeky Sport fame. Akeem, thanks very much for joining us, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Pleasure as always.
I'm really looking forward to this chat because Cheeky Sport are one of those channels that I really respect because you're doing something different. You know, everybody was going at the time when Cheeky Sport came out, fan channels this and fan channels that, and you saw yourself a little niche in YouTube and went, you know what, we're going to do something completely different there. And you've fathomed the career out of it, and it's an absolutely brilliant channel. If you don't watch Cheeky Sport, you absolutely should get in there. But how did the idea of Cheeky Sport start?
Well, yeah, like you said, like we came and saw fan channels, which was all incredible, by the way. Of course, mainly yourselves, Full Time Devils, Arsenal Fan TV at the time. And we kind of started actually having loads of debates, as you do with your mates every single day, and going to games and having debates and in chip shops, blah, 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 having debates. So we just thought, OK, well, let's find out what the fans kind of think about these games. But the only difference is let's represent both sides. Let's find out if we go to Liverpool Everton game or if we go to Man United Man City game, let's represent both Man City and Man United as well. And it kind of came from there, talking to fans and kind of focusing on the engagement and what they kind of generally thought beyond, oh, what's the result? What's the scoreline going to be? You know, what do you think about the season? And kind of trying to pull on their buttons a little bit more in an entertaining way. And it came from there to then think, okay, why can't we break down that same barrier as we did with fans to players and coaches and, of course, kind of backroom staff? So we started talking to players. Of course, a lot of people knew of us from chasing down cars or talking to players through fences and just asking them random questions. Harry Kane or David De Gea on questions that are kind of less obvious, you know, which is not, you know, what did you think about today? It's more, you know, what's your favourite food? You know, do you prefer, you know, beans and chips or beans and eggs or whatever? Like, that was a bad example, but you get my point. But kind of breaking down that barrier and kind of getting the fan closer to the player and the fan closer to the managers of these are just normal people as well. And we didn't need, the content space didn't need a Navar, you know, content company that simply asks, you know, these players and managers, what do you think about today? Or what do you think about your season? They needed somewhere where they can break down that barrier and kind of come across closer and more, I don't know, more as just casual people, which is what we hopefully done with a lot of the players and managers over the last couple of years, really. So
the dynamic's really interesting between obviously the three founders. There's yourself, there's Dave, there's Joel. Have you been mates, I take it, for a long time? It comes across that way.
Yeah, funny enough, all of us, including Jermaine, who's obviously part of the team as well, we've, funny enough, been friends for best part of 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, similar to, of course, you guys, who's been friends for a long time, I'm sure. Like, we grew up together, you know. Me, David, Joel, Jermaine has known each other probably since, you know, college, so 15, 16 years old till now. So we've known each other for a really, really long time. And that obviously helps because, again, sometimes you know you can rely on people's characters because you know them so well. But on top of that, it's also fun doing it as well because at the end of the day, one of the reasons why we wanted to break down those barriers is for content purposes, but it's also to love our own jobs, you know, to do something that's actually entertaining ourselves as well as, of course, people that's watching.
So how did like Cheeky Sport then, you've had this idea, how did you then take it from an idea and then start to go out and make this content?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. You know, a lot of people ask us that, and the truth is all we did, there was no rule book, there was no skill set that we had, none of us learned editing or how to work a camera or how to present anywhere. We literally just watched people do it on YouTube or online and just duplicated or tried to copy. We literally learned how to, the first time we went to the went to a game with our cameras, you know, we made so many mistakes, you know, the lens caps, you know, everything
to press record, to record audio.
See, I wasn't going to say that because it actually did happen though. We forgot to press record after like an hour. We realized, hold on, there's no red, the button's not flashing. So we literally done that about two or three times, ironically around some of the guys who are still around today. And but we were learning. And the fact is, we then learned how to edit. We self-taught ourselves on Final Cut Pro and Premiere, etc. And to kind of long story short, the only tip I would say and the only thing that we did do is we just started. Because a lot of people keep thinking and plotting on, let me do this first, let me do that first. Sometimes the easiest and hardest thing to do is just start and just get started. And then once you get started, you're going to learn so quickly because you're going to learn from your mistakes. And that's the key thing.
One of the things that you mentioned before is that going out there and representing both sides to a football club. And that interests me because obviously the way that we built up Red Men TV between Paul and I and everybody else that has helped us along the way is we've represented or tried to represent at times the fan base. And I wonder how difficult it must have been to be not part of that fan base, but still encapture exactly what they want. So how do you do that? Because I couldn't imagine going and standing at a Manchester United game when everyone knows I'm a Liverpool fan, because people know you're a Man United fan, but you don't stand at an Arsenal game. How does that happen?
And you know what? You know, even to this day, you know, it happens, and sometimes in a negative sense as well, because you go to a Man United, Man City game and you're genuinely trying to interview Man City fans and they look at you and say, hold on a second, I know you, you're a Man United fan and you're trying to now, you know, play a game with me, you're trying to mess around. So the funny thing is that happens quite often on a negative stance, but on a positive side, you could see it that it allows us to talk to fans that we never would have really got through to as well. So Newcastle fans, Southampton fans, and find out kind of where their worries are, you know, how their intentions are, where their energy levels are. Because the truth is, we've now been around probably 30, 40 different teams around Europe. And it's funny enough, we always talk about, you know, who the best fans are, who the worst fans are, who's got the most energy, who's got the best atmosphere. And we get to experience that because we see different sides of the coin. But there are definitely negatives because, yes, they do know who we all support. So a lot of the time you're at away games or you're around other teams and they think you're, you know, trying
them off.
Yeah, you're trying to set them up or you're trying to be funny, even though you genuinely are just trying to interview them. So
who are the best fans?
Oh, in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Man United.
Fuck off. You're gonna fucking laugh. There's no way Manchester United fans are the best
all
fans.
Right. Let me say for banter, I would probably say it's Liverpool are up there. Liverpool fans. I'd say, am I just saying that though? Yeah. Liverpool fans, Newcastle fans are great.
Yeah.
They're awesome. They're really, really good. I'd say surprisingly, another great fan base is Southampton. They've got good fans.
But they've got nothing else to do.
You let me cuss them. Now I'm going to go there. And but I could say who the worst fans are. But
go on.
Let me say where our most difficult experiences are. I'd say at Chelsea. I think because Chelsea fans they expect so much because of their success over the last 20 years. Even games that they win 1-0, their fans...
16 years, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think, oh, yeah, exactly.
2003.
Yeah.
That was it. Let's not give them an extra few years here, lad. They haven't been around that long.
Yeah. Even when they win 1-0 or they draw a game that, you know, that maybe they could have lost, you'd think they got battered sometimes. And the anger on Chelsea fans, are worse than any other club that we've come across. But maybe that's just passion, you know? So
Passion plays a part in it, doesn't it? But it's difficult, isn't it, to sometimes, and you'll know this because you're skating between the fan bases. I know when I'm being ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I can't stop myself. That's how I feel. That's what football does to all of us. It's an emotional game that just drags you through the ringer for 19 plus minutes at times, and you can't help it. 24 hours later, I feel completely differently. Yeah, you're encapsulating a moment after a game where emotion is running incredibly high, which helps your content at a point, surely.
Sure, yeah, exactly. And of course, like I said, that's the rough and the smooth, is that you do get people's instant reactions, and that could be positive, it could be negative, but it's real, and you know, and that's kind of why we want to be literally the minute someone comes out the stadium, the minute that the whistle's blown, we want people's reaction, because that's where you're really going to get what they truly feel about their thoughts. Because sometimes when they dwell on it and they watch the analysis at home on TV with Match of the Day, they kind of just create an opinion because of what they've seen or what they've heard online or on socials, etc. We just want people's real opinion. What do you really, really think at this time? And of course, a lot of the time it's stuff that doesn't make any sense because it's just emotion.
We're football fans, man. We don't make sense,
you know what I mean? So I'm sure you've experienced that as well.
Like, oh, plenty of times. You've seen plenty of times. Exactly. Everybody's seen the Rent Boy rant, man. You know what I mean? And that come out there, we'd pretty much thrown the Premier League away. We'd not won it in 20 odd years. Yeah. And, you know, I had a microphone in my face and a camera pointed at me and I said something that I regret saying to this day. And, you know, people still look at it and know me for it. And I walk down the street and people shout, Rent Boys. And I cringe inside.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that what I'm known for, really? I feel terrible for that, like, because I actually offended a lot of people. You know, ultimately I had LGBT groups coming in and saying to me, that's a homophobic slur, and I didn't want to offend anybody other than the Chelsea players. And I think I've been kind of defined by a 7-second thing, when actually, if you watch the full video, I actually bookend it with the manager down to Fernando Torres, and I'm not talking about the fans, but the fans thought I was. I had Kick It Out campaign get in touch about homophobia. I had emails from Liverpool Football Club and all kinds of stuff, and I regret that. It's one of my biggest regrets in life. But do you ever feel at times, and do you think you have a social responsibility when you are putting a microphone and a camera in someone's face, where actually I can't put that out because that's not fair on them?
Yeah, but again, kind of like, I mean, look, at end of the day, sometimes people say, it's funny you said that, because, you know, there was a viral moment that, of course, we ended up putting on a lot of our socials. A lot of papers picked it up about 3 or 4 months ago, which was a game that we were all at. me and Joel was there, and I think Jermaine might have been there as well, but we were there, and of course, it was Manchester United versus Man City, and a Man City fan ended up saying something racist to Joel.
There's no goals, mate. We're fucking champions.
Oh, mate. It's not even December yet. Can you really be saying that?
100%. I'll send some money to your family in Africa.
And the truth is, one of the things that we experience from doing this for a couple of years, of course, multiple years, is that racism all the time. You get that all the time. But most of the time, we actually edit it out and we don't put it out. And me and Joe had a conversation that evening, and we was like, well, actually, if we don't do it, if we don't put this out, then this guy's just going to go and do it again. So in one sense, we did put it out purposely to firstly stop him doing it, for him to learn a lesson, but also to kind of like show that, look, racism is deeper than just, you know, even footballers being getting racist slurs from the stands. Like, you obviously, you've seen over the last couple of weeks with Sterling and Keane, but it happens even when to the presenters and the people going out and talking to fans after games and before games for no reason as well. You get it all the time, especially away from home. You get it all the time. But having said that, if it's not racist, there are many times that, of course, we just edit it out. We don't want people to put out someone's content to make someone get embarrassed or lose their job or something like that, because end of the day, they're saying things out of emotion and it's not hurting us. So why are we putting it out? And also, it's not good content either, just hearing someone say something that is going to offend other people. So in one sense, a lot of the time we do edit it out. But in that occasion, we had to say something, because otherwise, you know, and the funny thing is, Chris, is after we done that, a lot of people said, wow, like, does that happen to you guys? And we're like, we couldn't believe that no one knew that that happens to us. Like, we were kind of ignorant to it. We're like, rah, like, does no one realize that this happens to people who go out and about?
So in some ways you're educating there, aren't you? And that's what you need to do. I think, you know, we've done a lot on the Red Men channel over the last couple of weeks about racism in football. And, you know, we've had an incident in the Liverpool stands where someone turned around to a young child and said a racist slur and stuff like that. And I'm glad that the club dealt with that in a really positive manner. But ultimately, for me anyway, and it's difficult because I'm a fucking 36-year-old white man who's middle class, to be quite honest with you, to be able to... And I, you know, I'm not the voice to be able to stand up and talk about racism, but I felt that, you know what, we've got a platform and we should talk about it. So probably on 4 or 5 shows over a couple of weeks, we've delved in depth with journalists, with fans, talked about the Raheem Sterling incident, talked about the incidents at Liverpool. And from a personal level, we know that, you know, Tom's been out and filmed around Goodison Park with Joel. And he's diffused situations that have been racially motivated. And Tom came back to us and was like, you should have seen what was fucking happening. We were like, are you fucking kidding us in our city? And you kind of can't believe it, but you need to shine a light on these incidents.
Yeah, yeah. But and having said that, and on another note, one of the things that is wrong and not fair to say is when people, you know, just say stuff like, all Chelsea fans are racist or all Liverpool fans are, you know, when you just went... That's just rubbish. Do you know what I mean? Because unfortunately, every fan base has these racist fans or homophobic fans or whatever. They just have them. So to call like a whole blanket, and I know what happens, unfortunately, is that when that happens to an incident like that happens, a lot of you kind of feel like
it's them, not us.
Yeah, and then as a Liverpool fan, you're probably thinking like you kind of feel like let down, or you feel like your integrity has been like damaged because this idiot. Do you know what I mean? And that is something that people have got to stop doing. Like, stop saying, oh, all these fans are racist. All these fans are racist. Because from going around to all of these grounds, and we've been to 50 plus stadiums in the last couple of years, different stadiums, they are all around. And some places there's more, don't get me wrong, but they're everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Mate, we went over to Belgrade to watch Liverpool Red Star. And I have never been so apparent that racism is so in your face in some of these countries. Like, it's quite... I think it exists a lot in England, but I think it's well hidden at times. And I think that's the issue that we have, is that it's gone underground. And that actually breeds more contempt and more ill feeling. So education's the key at the very base level. You know, banning people from the ground, great. Doesn't solve the issue.
No.
It just means that people are going to check what they're saying in the ground because they know they can get banned.
Yeah.
You need to go in at grassroots level and educate. That can be the only thing that changes this. And it's not educating one group of people. It's educating your entire culture, your entire countries, where the people from the bottom to the top, because that's the only way that anything's going to change. Well, when we were in Red Star, I was looking at it and I've never seen people being spat on, people getting shit thrown at, the monkey chants, all this stuff. And I'm there going, just looking around going, I want to be somewhere else. And it's not directed towards me. And I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life. I'm actually getting a bit emotional talking about it, because I'm like, how can someone live with something like that every single day?
And it's like, these guys are just doing their job. That's what doesn't make any sense. It's like... Moise Keane, you know, of course, a couple of weeks ago, he's just doing his job. It's like, it's not as if these guys have been convicted of charges, or that even if they did, it's still not right to be racist anyway. But these guys haven't done anything to those guys, to the fans that are, for some reason, being racist. And the problem is here is that, like you said, from coming out of a statement saying that we've banned that person or we've banned those two or three fans, it's not enough. It doesn't feel like it's enough. But in the same stretch, what else can they really do? You know, because it's not like everyone else around the ground is racist as well. So it's a problem. I think the only way it could be fixed is you make it a real crime, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I'm walking into a stadium and I say XXX is racist, that's as bad as doing a crypt. Do you know what I mean? That's as bad as
punching someone or whatever.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that's the only thing that's going to stop people saying something dumb out of their mouth. And the fact is, without that, all you're going to do is you're going to get these people who's just going to shout, scream, blind, blah blah blah. Because look, if I'm angry, I might be on a bus or a train or whatever. I might be angry and I might want to punch someone in the face, for example. But the fact of it being a crime would stop. This is not me personally, by the way. I don't want people to think that. But yeah, but the crime, me thinking of it, of the incident and what could happen, would stop me doing it. But because no one really gets, there's no real crime or no real downside of just screaming something negative, something racist like that. People are going to continue to do it. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean? And that's the long and short of it.
It's probably not the fact that it's a crime that stops you. It's your upbringing, isn't it? It's that moral compass between good and bad. Mm. And a crime indicates on the base level to you that that is a bad thing.
Mm.
And I think when everyone's brought up the right way, you know your moral compass knows between good and bad, and crime helps that in a way.
And the problem is that a lot of these guys, their moral compass, because, you know, they've gone up 15, 20 years with their mum and dad accepting this rubbish. So when they get to like 15 years old or 20 years old, to stomp that out of their mindset is going to be really, really hard, because these guys are just like, that's why they're racist from the core. Do you know what I mean? Because they literally, you know, there's been videos like that Millwall kid. I don't know if you've seen it.
Millwall,
fuck them all.
You fucking black.
Yeah, like the Millwall kid, he's not old enough to even know what he's doing. But the worst thing about the video is the woman in the background.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about the video. It's not him, because he's young enough, he doesn't understand. And he learned it from someone, which is her. And she is probably laughed it off. After the camera stopped, probably laughed it off. And he's going to go on to think that's okay to say. That's the problem. Do you know what I mean? But,
it's fucking nuts.
Circle continues.
It does, man. And something needs to be done. So I'm glad that he's highlighted that. And I'm so glad that Raheem Sterling's one of the guys to carry the torch on this type of stuff now. Because using your platform in a positive way like that, whether I'm, as a Liverpool fan, I dislike him for leaving the football club.
Yeah.
You've got to respect the man that he is.
100%.
And what he's doing. So let's talk a little bit more about Cheeky Sports and get off the proper heavy shit, be quite fair for a bit.
Yeah.
Because Cheeky Sports is about, it's about creating great content. But the biggest thing that stands you apart above all everyone I've met in this industry and in YouTube is the fucking energy levels, man. I've never seen a group of people that banter and bounce off each other at such high energy. How do you create that? Is it just there? Is it what you like every single day? Or is it you plus 10%? Because I think sometimes you have to be you plus 10%. I don't think it's a bad thing to be that.
Do you know what? We just get energy off each other really, really easy. And don't get me wrong, we don't jump out the car like just like running like 100 miles per hour. But what happens is, just from talking to a couple of fans, we would feed off their energy, especially before a big game or after a big game. You're just going to get that energy and would feed off it. And the way we kind of see it is, let's act as if there was no camera. That's the key thing. Act as if there's no camera. Do content like there's no camera. Because sometimes when people see a camera, they purposely like down their energy or cool down. Because what we're used to seeing on TV is a guy sitting down like he just woken up, pretty much. No disrespect. But sitting down and having a conversation about football. We'd never see anyone with energy in football. In comedy you do, in music you do, in all other different parts. But in football, it seems like it's frowned upon, like if you're not sitting with your legs crossed having a normal conversation. Do you know what I mean? So we thought, why can't we bring that same energy like you see in different parts of culture or different parts or wherever?
In the freaking pub, talking about football, that's what people do.
Why not? Exactly. And like people, and football, and I have to say, football's easy to do it in, because like I would say rugby as well is probably like another sport that's easy off the top of my head, because the fans are naturally energetic before going to games. Like we've been to some F1 races and tennis games, completely different energy. Like people are literally coming for, I don't know, a glass of wine and some strawberries and stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Whereas football and rugby fans are energetic anyway. You just have to almost get them to the level that they should be, you know? And you can normally get that just from the first couple of seconds of talking to them.
How do you manage the bad days? Because people go through ups and downs, you know, because you're so energetic, is it difficult sometimes to get those energy levels up when you're having a bad day?
It is. I mean, a bad day for us is days where the fans are just not. And again, this sometimes happens depending on which city you go to and which game. But those sort of middle of the road games that, I don't know, Southampton versus West Ham, like, and it's a 0-0. Two teams that are basically safe. They're not playing for much.
That you don't give a shit about.
Well, yeah, it's not. in one sense, but in another sense, is that they also don't care that much as well. A lot of the time, they go because it's part of their life. But because they don't have something to play for, which, let's not forget, because if you don't support a top six team, a lot of teams do not have much to pay for a lot of these games, or they go to the game expecting to lose. Mm. So they don't have the energy level that maybe a lot of us would have, because they kind of don't have the same, they don't have much to play for. So to get them riled up and to get them excited and to get good content out of them is harder a lot of the time. And that's what we would call a bad day. But obviously our old school bad days is not pressing the record button or leaving the lens cap on.
We left the lens cap on
that's for 2 hours. Yeah.
We had a guy, bless him, he was our first cameraman. Yeah. He used to record everything in 4:3. Everything. Like, you get it out.
Well, even after telling him.
Oh, no, honestly, mate, all the time. The camera, for some reason, reset itself to 4:3 every time we recorded, right? So we'd have one camera in 16:9 and one camera in 4:3. So often I'd be driving home, I'd do a shift in work, I'd go to film with Paul, I'd get a phone call, we'd go back, we'd film for another hour because it's done in 4:3. I'd get a phone call on my way home, we forgot to turn the audio on. I'd drive back, it's 2 o'clock in the morning at this point. I've been up since friggin' 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're there and you're like, we're going to do this for a third time, really. And those are bad days, and they still happen occasionally.
Yeah.
Not very often anymore, thankfully.
Yeah. And the worst thing about those days, it happens now and again to us, is that you don't watch the content until a lot of the time you don't watch all the content until you've finished. And then, you know, you put your headphones in and then, like, the sound's crackly and you're just like the last 3 hours of what you've done is just a waste of time. You know what I mean? But it happens.
Akeem, what did you do before Cheeky Sports?
Before Cheeky Sport, well, actually, funnily enough, in the same week that I started Cheeky Sport, not the same week, right, like the same month, I actually started a peanut butter company.
Wow.
So, strangely enough, so I started a peanut butter company. Still runs to this day. I only own 20% now. Yeah, well, I'd say it's good. Yeah. It's flavoured natural peanut butter. So
smooth and coarse.
No, it's flavoured, so it's smooth and crunchy, but yeah, there's five flavours. I'm plugging it now, isn't it?
That's straight, man.
Chocolate, honey, banana, cinnamon.
Holy, that sounds fit.
Yeah, and chilli. So yeah, now it's in 3,500 stores worldwide.
Fuck off.
Yeah, no, it's true, yeah.
So it's like peanut butter king.
Nah, not king, not at all. Why? Not until you get to at least 10,000 stores.
Right, so you're the prince.
Yeah, well, you could say that. Pauper compared to some of the competitors, but end of the day,
where'd you rank against Sunpat?
That's what I mean. I'm a pauper compared to them, but they're in about 25,000 stores, 30,000. But I mean, the competitors that you go, I'm against. They've been in business longer than I've been born. Just to put it into perspective, do you know what I mean? So they're a long way ahead, you know, in terms of infrastructure, sales, blah blah blah. But do you know what I mean? Getting there. So
do you have your face on the jars?
Nah, it wouldn't sell.
Is that the dream?
It wouldn't sell.
I think when Cheeky Sport takes over the world, not a big smile and a keen face on his peanut butter, man.
I wish.
There's a fucking brand endorsement. You should be promoting that on Cheeky Sport. They should be sponsors of the show.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's one of the things that we all haven't done in our own. We have been kind of, we've separated, which we shouldn't have done, but we've separated like what we do. What we've done before and what we do at the moment alongside of what we do at Cheeky Sport. And that's for all of us involved. Do you know what I mean? Like, whether it's me, Joel, Jermaine, Fuizzi, Jike, all of these guys, we've got a lot of things that we do on top of Cheeky Sport, but we kind of separate it for no real reason, to be honest with you. But it's kind of like we just focus, when we're doing Cheeky Sport, we focus on that content. But yeah. But yeah, randomly, that's what I've done.
I did not expect that answer.
Yeah,
I'm not thinking when I say what did you do before. I've just got a peanut butter fucking company running in 3,500 stores.
Yeah.
And are you heavily involved in that day to
day? Now not hardly at all. But before, up until October last year, I was heavily involved. So I sold some of my shares for the second time now. But yeah, I mean, really not obviously because no one really would care that much about the peanut butter. But long story short, the peanut
mate,
butter.
Mate, I care. Yeah. I care what the peanut butter
is. It's sold mainly in the US and Canada and China. Those are the free markets. And then we supply the United Nations as well and the Ministry of Defense.
Fuck off.
Peanut butter.
What are they doing with it?
They feed nations with it. They feed countries with it. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Got contact with them. Yeah, that's where most of the business comes from.
The big fucking and then besides that,
obviously we supply the other main part of the business is supply the main. I don't know if you know these bodybuilding companies like
the protein stuff.
Yeah, the protein companies. Obviously can't say who, but we do private label for them. So we're the ones who supply their peanut butter.
Oh, so like white label.
White labeling, exactly. So a lot of these big ones, especially the ones that you this up north, so we supply a lot of those guys. So the downside of it is that it means the brand isn't as known as it could have been because of the contracts we've had to make, because obviously it means we can't sell in certain places because we've got deals,
territories and all that type
yeah,
of stuff.
But doesn't matter.
Yeah, and a fat wedge off it.
It's all right. It's nothing special.
It's all right. What are you talking a year like?
What? Nothing special.
You don't have to answer that one,
What are you earning?
Hey, mate, I've got my fingers in all kind of pies.
Look at this studio. Okay. Yeah, go on.
What is a typical working week for Cheeky Sport then?
The funny thing is, it actually depends on who we're speaking about. I mean, because we all do different things. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, one of the guys, you know, like I said, Fuizi does comedy, which is incredible. Joel does a lot with Arsenal, does a lot of content with Arsenal. Dave does a lot of content in boxing. I do a lot of content on radio and with the BBC, alongside Jermaine as well. So it kind of depends, but generally speaking, we do a lot of recording on the weekends and on Monday. And then in the rest of the week, we're either doing content on campaigns, like kind of like part-time campaigns, or we've now just got a new space where we can start rolling out some of our new strands, which we're going to be recording on Thursdays and Fridays. So look out for that.
Will do.
You need to come on it.
We will absolutely. Oh, yeah. I will absolutely come on it. Right. Mm. One of the things that I found quite interesting about the Cheeky Sports story, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think you guys personally were getting a lot of attention, even at 10,000 subscribers, above and beyond what you'd ordinarily see from a channel like that. Because I think what people recognise was that, you know, we've spoken about it already, these energy levels that you guys all individually had and this charisma that you were all able to showcase on the channel. So even at a small subscription base, you're getting these deals working for big brands and stuff. And you've not built your channel in the same way as most people on YouTube. And is that, why do you think that is?
Well, I'll be honest, we've kind of taken like, else we've taken losses actually from not doing certain things that we could have done, and what I mean by that, we could have easily done like a lot of clickbait stuff to get more views or get more subs or like a lot of people do. We just haven't done it where but I feel like to kind of like, and that's affected our growth, our speed of growth certainly on some platforms, but I feel like in terms of like the attention, I feel is probably because a lot of the content that we've done instantly went viral, or those periods that every single video we done went into newspapers, like even in print newspapers, not just online. And that's kind of where it built from. But on the flip side, you also got a lot of people who didn't subscribe to us because they kind of thought, well, that video was funny, but I don't know if I like you guys all together as people. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, because we didn't do enough content where we kind of like, we were on the channel a lot. It was more, you know, this is a viral moment or this moment is big, where we, for example, got David De Gea to sign a contract.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part?
They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On a piece of paper before he actually did. And that was when the fax machine situation.
What was the Everton one you did with us?
The Everton one, yeah.
That was brilliant.
Liverpool is the best team in Merseyside. Can I get him to sign that? Yeah. Sign this for legal procedures. Trying to get those signatures. There's no shame in it, mate. Just want to let you know.
Mr. Barkley.
My man. Oh, thank you, Romelu. Romelu! He admitted it!
There was another Everton one as well when an Everton fan kicked off like crazy.
Hey, if this Arabian's got the f***ing toe he claims he have, we won't f***ing believe him, lads.
For stuff like that, we never know it's going to happen. But when it happens, we go straight into the internet cafe or the hotel or the car and we just upload. Do you know what I mean? But generally speaking, we don't go out like, all right, let me try and get someone angry or let me try and like get a viral moment. We just wait for it to happen. If it happens, we try and react as quick as possible. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I absolutely do. And it's interesting the way that you've built your channel. You mentioned it there that you're not trying to do the clickbait and stuff. And I think sometimes from my point of view, you know, I hope and I feel that Redmen have done kind of a similar way, because we don't do fan cams in the same way that everybody else does fan cams. We don't break them up into 20 videos, for example, and throw people out anymore. You know, we tried it for a year and we didn't like the content, which is the God's honest truth why we don't put them out. We group it in one and we find that we think it's a better video, but we're also not trying to clamour for every single view and stuff. And I think we'd be bigger if we went down that way and we titled it slightly differently in a more aggressive tone and stuff like that. And that's not to say what people are doing around us are wrong. It's just to say that we didn't want to do it our way because it didn't fit us personally. But then you do look at these things and you do have regrets sometimes. And, and what is yours? What's your biggest regret?
I'd say pretty much similar to what you just said, really. And it's kind of like, it's not even so much a regret. It's almost that you realize. And one of the things with us is that we've been quite independent for this whole time. Like, we've not been part of any teams. We've obviously got our own team, which is us, but we've not done that many collaborations or partnerships or been with a lot of, with bigger groups, you know, that other football content players have done. And because of that, that means we are responsible solely for our growth, and we haven't really had that help or that assistance. And that's not because people haven't approached us. We declined. And I guess there were certain points that maybe we could have said, all right, let's get moving here, let's get moving there. But everything happens for a reason. Do you know what I mean? And there's, and we, again, kind of like what you said, we want to look back and look at the content we've done and say, that's good. There's a lot of time that we've taken down content that is clearly going viral in the first couple of hours, whether it's on Insta or on YouTube over the last couple of years. We take it down because we don't think it's good. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's going to get views or whatever, we don't think it's good. Do you know what I mean? And there's times that we go out and we film, let's say it was Man United v, you know, Chelsea or whichever, would go 3-4 hours, would do all the content, and would literally sit back in the car or in the hotel and would look through the content and say, that wasn't good enough. No video.
Wow, that's incredible.
We'd say no videos, and we literally wouldn't release a single video. But then that comes at a detriment, because then fans don't know that. So yeah. Fans just look at it like, well, you haven't released a video. Why? You know, when the truth is, it's just that we don't want to release something that's trash.
That's amazing. I mean? Like, I mean, we do similar types of things, but obviously it's results driven for us because it's Liverpool with Redmen. Yeah. We'll go to a game, obviously, and we'll do a story of the match video. Mm. And if Liverpool get beat, we don't put it out.
Yeah,
we're not interested in fucking giving fans of other football clubs content.
Yeah,
what we've always wanted is when Liverpool win, to get more views than when Liverpool lose.
Yeah.
And I think for me, if Liverpool lose and we get more views, we're doing something wrong, because we're not creating content for Liverpool fans. 100%. And I love the fact that you're self-policing your own content. Mm. I love the fact that you'll drive, take what a total of, if there's three people going, 4 hours, you might be going for 24 hours of work, and you'll just go
100%. And like, a lot of the time we'd go up, let's say Manchester United v Arsenal, we'd still leave at 6 a.m. in the morning, even for a 4 p.m. game, or 5 a.m. in the morning, 4 p.m. get to Old Trafford at 1 o'clock, do a lot of pre-game content, etc. Stay there till 4. After the game, we'll literally be the last people to leave Old Trafford, because we would sometimes wait for players to get that to do some content, and sometimes the players would never come out. There was a time that the player, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Zlatan or something, we literally waited for about 2 hours in the snow, and he didn't come out. So maybe he, because obviously a lot of the time the players literally just probably stay and watch TV for a couple of hours in the, or maybe they even went out of a different exit, which we didn't see. But we done all of that, and we came back, we actually was out for an entire 24 hours. I got back into my house 4:45 a.m. Not a single piece of content.
Fucking hell.
And that happened a couple of times every season. Yeah.
Shit.
Not a single piece of content.
You know? Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. So you come home after about 3 coffees, driving 6 hours up north, 6 hours back, and then that's it.
It's amazing the amount of work that goes into your videos, and we'll bump into you just like, it's normally Joel that we bump into, and we're just outside the ground and we're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Why are you at Wolves away? You know what I mean? In the frigging cup, and we're playing a second team, you bastard, to see us lose. How did you pick this frigging game? Why did you pick this? And he's always there. Yeah. He's at Palace, he's everywhere. It's amazing. I love bumping into you. Yeah. 2 more questions for you, because I know this is dragged on, so apologies. What's your proudest moment?
Well, I think our proudest moment, I guess, was in general being recognised by, you know, a lot of the football space, whether it's football ex-footballers, which we, you know, we've just had, you know, Rio Ferdinand on our podcast yesterday, for example, and a lot of our footballers, etc., that we've looked up to growing up, that them recognising our content and saying it's good, that really means a lot to us, because again, in the core, that is what we really care about, is how good our content is from our perspective, and also to the people that we care about, like you guys, and obviously the footballers that we grew up watching. And I think besides that, is kind of where we kind of, what we're most proud of in general, is the fact that we really came from having a camera that we borrowed from a mate, and not a single clue of what we're doing, no editing experience, nothing. And now being able to not only edit and put together videos from scratch, but train new guys that we've got now on how to do it, something that we didn't have a clue about three and a half, four years ago. And that's pretty much kind of what we feel is the proudest moment, because it shows that if you just get up and do it, and you know, you stop talking, you stop watching videos on how to and etc., you just get up and get your ass to that location and to that place and try, you can do it. And that's what it really
comes to.
Incredible,
man. Incredible. Yeah. And finally, what does the future hold for Akeem and Cheeky Sports and the rest of the guys?
Yeah, for us, I mean, now, like I said, we've got some new studio space now, so we're going to be doing a lot more content. New strands are going to be coming. We're creating more, we're creating more, again, non-reaction content or podcast type content. So content beyond of what we're doing, kind of like you guys as well, beyond football, over the next couple of months. And I think besides that, we're kind of looking now on creating long form, like mockumentaries and documentaries. So content that's a little bit longer than, or a little bit more dynamic than kind of what you've seen from Cheeky Sport. So traveling and creating content in multiple countries.
Quality.
Which we're going to start doing this summer. So that's kind of where we're looking at now in the next couple of months and in the next year.
Incredible, mate. Well, good luck with everything. And Akeem, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a really enjoyable conversation.
Cheers, mate.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.